the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. We had a great weekend. How about you?
Same here. I hope everyone had a good weekend. We'll get into the weather. The weather held up, and it looks like we're going to have a great week as well. But before we get to that, we always like to begin our show with a prayer, and we'll do just that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. My Eucharistic Lord, in union with you, I offer to the Father in heaven your body and blood, soul and divinity, for the salvation of this world. Help me to do so with my whole heart, and to be attentive to the offering of your life as it is perpetuated through the Holy Mass. May I bring my life, my troubles, and my whole being to every celebration of the Mass, so that I may receive from you the gift of eternal life. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Just a heads up for those in the Baton Rouge area who listen to WPYR 1380 AM, we will be going off the air today at 9 AM, so please be patient with us. Great things are happening, but we will come back stronger and clearer. So that's later today at 9 AM Central Time, WPYR 1380 AM in Baton Rouge. We have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. That is coming up in about 8 minutes. In 18 minutes, Dr. Peter Howard joins us. He's the founder of the Fulton J. Sheen Institute, and today he's going to be talking about the possibility of the beatification of Fulton J. Sheen. So I've heard a lot about this person's future possible saint-to-be, but I really don't know much about him. You know, I've heard talk about him, so looking forward to hearing more from Dr. Howard later today. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He is the co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday, he joins us to talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. Well, today's topic is about how to help our teens navigate life when they have lost a friend close to them, a classmate, or a family member. So how to help them through this trial in their life. And in 48 minutes, Dr. David Whitten joins us. He is a professor of theology over at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University, also known as FRANU in Baton Rouge. He's going to be joining Damian in the Baton Rouge studio. And it's always a joy, Damian, to have Dr. Whitten with us. I always learn something new when he's with us for a morning show.
We'll be talking about the Holy Spirit, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, the Holy Spirit was a-moving and blessed us with some great weather over the weekend. And guess what? It's going to continue all week long. That's right. Trend should continue with sunny skies, a cloud here and there. Maybe just a slight maybe chance of rain in the afternoon. I'm not going to say zero, but an afternoon shower may pop up due to the heat, but it won't last very long. High today, 87. Low's going to be 67. As I said, no rain or very slight chance of rain, and winds are minimal right now. Tomorrow, as well as for the rest of the week, highs are going to be near 90. Lows are going to be in the upper 60s. And get out there and enjoy it. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Over in New Orleans, it's 74. In Mandeville, across the lake, it's 68. Gulfport, 71. Houma Thibodeau, it's also 71. And in Baton Rouge, it's 68 degrees. So those are your temps. That's your forecast. And stick around because we have a number of events coming your way. You may want to get a pencil and paper handy. We've got more on Wake Up. It's 5 after the hour on this Monday morning.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Today the Church offers us the fourth and last weekday reading from the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. This alone highlights this chapter's importance, for its focus is on Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be and to accomplish what could never be done alone. He makes Scripture come alive and understandable. He prompts our thoughts to pray for someone or to do something that may seem unusual at the time, but it is only later that we discover God's plan. For example, a young man felt compelled to buy a bottle of milk late one night. Then he drove to a poor part of town and stopped in front of a house with its light on. He felt moved to knock on the stranger's door. A frizzled man came to the door and said, "Oh, thank God! Our baby is crying and hungry, and we have no money for milk. We have been praying that God would send milk for the baby." On another occasion, a woman felt compelled to kneel and pray for a daughter who was away at college. Later that night, her daughter called to report that at that very moment the mother was praying, she was harassed by a man who was trying to harm her. She had been jogging in a secluded park. At the exact time the mother was praying, a policeman appeared, seemingly out of nowhere, and rescued the young woman from the assailant. The Holy Spirit is dramatically alive in the Church. He enlightens us in the sacred Scriptures, for He is its principal author. He guards and passes on the oral teaching of Jesus to the apostles and the Church Fathers and down through the ages. The Holy Spirit infallibly guides and protects the Church's teaching office. In Holy Communion, the Holy Spirit brings us into a relationship of oneness with the risen Jesus. Our prayers have power because when we pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Through His gifts, He brings about the holiness of the saints in us. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. And yes, the Holy Spirit is a-moving. And as I said, we'll be talking to Dr. David Whidden from FRANU about that a little later on in the show and then elaborate on a little bit more on the Holy Spirit and Pentecost coming up. In the meantime, there's a number of retreats coming up. That's right. Acts retreats are very active. St. George Catholic Church Acts Retreat is going to be August 10th through the 13th. I'm glad Gabby liked that. The retreat begins Thursday evening, August 10th. Check-in's going to be at 5 o'clock. You're going to spend the entire 4 days on retreat at the Tracy Center in Baton Rouge. You'll meet at St. George Catholic Church, and you'll depart by bus, and you'll come back on August 13th at 11:30 a.m. for Mass and reception to follow. It's $350 a retreatant, and that covers all your expenses and lodging. If you want more information on that particular retreat, go to ccmedia.live. And continuing on the Acts retreat, the folks over at St. Catherine of Siena, they're having their men's Acts retreat July 20th to the 23rd. And the retreat includes lodging, as I said, meals, and all supplies. And you'll return. You depart on the 20th of July, return on the 23rd for Mass and a reception to follow as well. Last but not least, the Women's Acts Retreat at St. Catherine of Siena is in September, the 21st through the 24th, and registration is now open for that as well. Again, all the details at ccmedia.live. We give you this information far in advance because there's only usually 35 to 40 available seats for each one. Wow. They fill up quick, so the sooner you know about it, the better your chances of attending one of these retreats. The neat part is you only can make one ACTS retreat. You can't make more than one. So this is your opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it's like an awakening retreat, which are one of the best retreats of the best retreat. One of, well, it is the best retreat I've ever been on. So highly recommend attending one of these. So finding out some more, you can go to ccmedia.live. Well, you can also go to this, ladies. It's called Finding God in All Things Reflection Day. Join other women for the St. Joseph's Women Day Reflection on May 27th at St. Joseph's Church and Shrine in Gretna, Louisiana. Registration begins at 8 o'clock in the morning, and welcome and speaker begins at 9 a.m. The day concludes at 3 o'clock, and all are invited to join for adoration, followed by Mass at 4 p.m. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information and how to register.
Very good. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit Novena and Revival is continuing at St. John of the Cross Catholic Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Tonight, it's Father Thomas Kilimasarum and Deacon Ricky Supreme. He will be the homilist, and there's music by Lyndon Uter. The event begins at 6:15 with confession and praise and worship music, followed by Mass at 7 o'clock. That is going to continue all the way through this Saturday. A number of events, again, go to ccmedia.live if you want to check out not only tonight's event, but that's taking place at St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, Louisiana. And last but not least, there's a cruise coming up, huh, Gabby?
Yes, Advent at Sea. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information, but it's happening this December. It's a four-night Western Caribbean cruise departing from New Orleans, December 7th through December 11th. Join Father Chris Decker for Advent at Sea 2023. There's going to be daily Mass on the cruise ship and opportunities for confession. Like I said, ccmedia.live is right there on the homepage where you can go and contact our cruise consultant, Susan.
Very good. All right, Gabby, thank you for that. And Dr. Peter Howard, the founder of the Fulton Sheen Institute, is coming up next. Gabby will be chatting with him. And it's already 15 after the hour on this Monday morning. Make the most of it. You're listening to Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 22nd. Today we celebrate St. Rita of Kasha. The life of St. Rita would make a gripping made-for-TV movie. Born in Italy in 1377, Rita learned early that her elderly parents had firm ideas about what she should do with her life. They made arrangements for her to marry, despite her strongly expressed desire to become a nun. Their choice proved disastrous. The husband they found for her was abusive and unfaithful, but Rita struggled to keep the family together and concentrated on raising her two sons. After 18 years of unhappy married life, Rita's husband was killed in a brawl. A short time later, both sons died. Though deeply pained by the series of losses, Rita was now free to turn to the religious life. She was rejected three times by the local group of Augustinian sisters, who only permitted virgins in their community. But finally, the Augustinians welcomed her. Often meditating on the Passion of Christ, Rita suffered what seemed to be a thorn-like wound on her forehead. She died from tuberculosis at age 80 and was canonized in 1900. St. Rita is considered the patron of difficult cases, especially those connected with marriage. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
In It is 19 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Our first guest today is Dr. Peter Howard. Dr. Howard is a founder of the Fulton J. Sheen Institute, and today we're going to be talking about the possibility of the beatification of Fulton J. Sheen through the Fulton Sheen movement. Good morning, Dr. Howard. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. It's nice and early here in northern Idaho, and it's great to be with you.
It's great to have you with us. I actually have one of my best friends lives over in Idaho, and she absolutely loves it. So a beautiful state. But let's talk about this movement. You know, I have heard throughout the years of being Catholic, you know, I'm still learning every day. But Fulton Sheen, I really don't know much about him, but I know some people who are wanting him to become a saint. I know some things have been paused. So tell us where we are and why Fulton J. Sheen, what makes him so unique?
Well, right now, where we are in the beatification process, I mean, it's actually all we need to do is set the date to have the beatification mass rescheduled 3.5 years ago. It was scheduled. It was December 21st, 2019. And then just a few weeks before the mass, it got postponed. And there wasn't very little explanation as far as why. And Catholics have wondered ever since, like, what's going on there? And so that's why we started the movement. We just called a set the date petition campaign at FultonSheenMovement.com. And this is to draw awareness to there's no obstacles to have this date reset. So we're asking Rome to do it, because we really do need this date. The big why behind Fulton Sheen is, just like his biographer said, Thomas Reeves, he said after studying him and writing about him, he discovered that he was the most significant figure in 20th century America as far as the Catholic Church was concerned. You know, he was a man who reached 30 million people a week in his telecast. And I think today, in our really confused and lost culture, he brings a voice of great clarity and truth. And I think his personal life, his own witness, was extremely heroic, and is something that we should emulate, especially as we're looking for leaders in a leaderless society.
So what is the next step toward the path to sainthood? Where is he right now, and where does he need to go?
Well, back in 2019, they confirmed a miracle, which was literally, it was like a resurrection of a baby that was born without a pulse, a heartbeat, for 61 minutes. They confirmed that miracle, Pope Francis did, in December of 2019. And so all they said was, okay, let's set the date for the beatification. So since it's been paused, all we have to do is set that date again. It could be set today. It could be set tomorrow. And the mass could be, you know, a month or two from now. It's just logistics in Peoria, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And we'd have Blessed Fulton Sheen. And after that, he would have to have one more miracle confirmed. And then he would be canonized as Saint Fulton Sheen.
Wow. Okay, so what's it going to take, Dr. Howard, for this to happen?
Well, that's why we started this petition campaign, to really give a collective voice for people from around the world, because he's venerated all around the world. And so many people want to know what they can do. And so this is a medium for them to, you know, it's one thing if one person is talking about it, it's another thing if you've got tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people saying, hey, we need to revisit this, because, you know, it's almost as if he's just been dropped. And yet, like I said, he's a man that really, I think, gives so many of the answers that we're seeking for today. So this movement really helps to do that. We're doing that with rallies around the country. We've got a big one in Illinois coming up in July. And also just through, you know, through speaking. But I think this petition movement is a big one, because it does give people a collective voice, and it will. It'll go to the bishops in the United States. It'll go to Rome, and let them know how much we love and desire to see Blessed Sheen.
Damian, you have a question. Did you want to talk about this? Because this is quite interesting.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I am a big fan of Bishop Sheen and watched him as a child on television. He was a pioneer in television evangelization. And even today, in black and white, if you can find him, his message resonates with today's world, don't you think? And that's one of the reasons why I feel like he's destined for sainthood.
Absolutely. He was definitely one of the most prophetic voices of the 20th century. When you look at the things that we're fighting today, the crises that we have, what's happened to the United States, and really how infiltrated we have become with communism, Marxist ideology. A lot of Americans might be like, that's kind of insane. That's crazy to even say that. But that's exactly what we're facing in the woke culture, this gender dysphoria, the attack against the family, the dismantling of the family. Fulton Sheen, like over 80 years ago, said that if America does not stick to its Christian roots, it will succumb to a moral decay that will set the stage for communism to come in like a vulture, like a scavenger, and totally eat it up. And that was his fear, and unfortunately, that's what we have today. So, you know, he had so many insights into where we were going, but he also had a lot of solutions. One of them, of course, was to, especially for Catholics, was to draw closer to our Lord in prayer and in the Eucharist, which is another reason why I think Fulton Sheen is the perfect icon for this Eucharistic revival that the U.S. bishops are calling for.
Yeah, it seemed like Pope Benedict was a big supporter for Bishop Sheen's canonization, or at least moving toward that direction. Where's Pope Francis in all this?
Well, where he is today, I don't know. We know that he was very supportive of it as far as 3.5 years ago. As soon as that miracle was approved, it was in July of 2019, but just with, I think within about 2 or 3 months from that, they said, okay, here's the date, it's December. I mean, they moved really fast. But the call came from the Diocese of Rochester to Rome to pause it. And that was the big question. And they were saying there was an Attorney General report, which was true, investigating the Diocese of New York and how bishops handled clergy sexual abuse. And since Sheen was a bishop there for a few years, they said, well, let's just make sure there's nothing that would possibly come up that might raise a question mark. Well, Rome already did that, and he was totally clean. And then their report ended in New York about a year and a half ago, and nothing came up about Sheen. So that's why we're saying now's the time. We got to revisit this, and we need to get this done because he really is. And the amount of grace that's going to come to the church, Catholics, for priests, he's such an icon for priests, is I think it's immeasurable. So, you know, that's why we have this petition at FultonSheenMovement.com.
Yeah.
Well, I love this, you know, and thank you so much, Dr. Howard, for telling us a little bit more. You know, like I said earlier in the show, I've always heard of him, but really never took the time to get to know him. But the people that I know that do know about him are so devoted to him and talk about the impact that he has made in their lives. What was the start of this? What was the push to get this petition and this movement going?
Well, I think it was this pause for 3.5 years, and I looked, and you know, I've been studying this man for over 20, and like you said, when he comes into people's lives, they get radically changed. There's no doubt in my mind that when Catholics in the United States and even all throughout the world, when they discover him or rediscover him, especially the younger generations here, their lives will not be the same, and I think we're going to see a huge fire and passion for taking back our countries and our world for God like no other age. And Fulton Sheen even prophesied that age was coming. But let's pray that it doesn't happen after we're brought to our knees because of our neglect. But let's do it so out of prayer, spend time before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And I think that you cannot be unchanged after listening to Fulton Sheen.
Yeah, that's definitely what I've heard. And you really inspired me to really dive deeper into Fulton Sheen's messages and works as well. We're going to be praying for you and for this petition for him as well. Where can we go, Dr. Howard, to take a look more about Fulton J. Sheen, Bishop Fulton Sheen, and this petition and movement?
Sure. Well, the petition is real easy. FultonSheenMovement.com. The petition itself actually outlines everything that people need to know, even about the history, the significance of Fulton Sheen, where we're at. And so that's where I would direct everybody is to do that. It only takes 15 seconds to go and to sign it and join voices from people all around the world who are clamoring for this.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton J. Sheen Institute. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a great joy on this early morning.
Definitely. Well, you know, I always love learning about possible future saints and saints today. So definitely we'll check this out. I know I will.
Have you seen any of his shows ever?
I have not. No, I have not.
EWTN continues to air them on the television.
I know that. Yeah, and I've seen like of them, but I've never actually sat down and watched them.
Well,
so,
you
and
need
I know
to do
so
that.
Many people who
I know
who
he
do.
Uses a chalkboard, but back then they didn't have all the fancy graphics we have today. He had to go with chalk on a chalkboard, but he got his point across.
That's okay. Oh my goodness. Well, Alan Migliorato joins us when we return from the break. It's 7:30 on Wake Up. It is 35 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up this morning. Hey, save the dates for June 5th through June 9th because that is our summer pledge drive. It's an entire week where we come to you asking for your financial help to continue to keep Catholic Community Media on the air. So if you love listening to Wake Up, it's because of listeners like you. We are 100% donor supported, and it's because of you. So June 5th through the 9th, please continue to help support Catholic Community Media at this time. During that time too, and at this time as well. So Alan Migliorato now joins us. He is the co-author of the book Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday he joins us to talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. Well, today's topic is quite a tough one to talk about, but something quite a few of us have gone through or maybe are experiencing right now. Alan, we're going to be talking about what happens when a teen loses a close friend, a classmate, or a family member, how to help them navigate through this. This is a tough topic, Alan. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Thank you for having me. And this is one of those topics where, you know, a lot of people just don't know how to react or what's the best way to react to that. And reacting is probably the worst thing we can do as parents in any situation. It rather we need to respond. And so, like, you know, we have to think about our responses and calculate them and kind of discern what's the best way to approach my teenager who might have just lost their friend and, you know, and God forbid, you know, in a car accident or through illness. And how do we deal with that, you know? I think the worst thing that we could do is to say, you know, hey, you know, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right, you know, and just kind of try to urge them past that feeling. While that's kind of a normal thing for parents to want to do is to say, listen, I understand it seems bad right now, but it's going to get better. And that might be a reaction. That might be a bad way to react to that. And instead, what I always suggest for parents is, you know, like, ask your kids, how are you? Is there anything that you want to talk about? And really allow your teens to take the lead on opening up to you when they're ready to open up. And that's a hard thing for parents to do, is to sit that waiting time out, you know, and because we see them sitting in their grief and their pain and they don't know what to do. And just being present sometimes, you know, just hugging your kid and saying, hey, I love you. You know, I just want you to know I love you and I'm here for you. That is equivalent to a parent saying, hey, it's going to be better. And there's a time for that. There's a time to say, hey, you know, I after maybe they open up to you a little bit, hey, I know that this is tough for you, you know, and I want you to know that I'm here for you, and I want you to know that things are going to get better eventually, but this is a tough situation, and I want you to know it's okay to grieve. And like we look at the gospel, and Jesus wept. There's a time for grief, and that's a very difficult thing to watch our kids go through, but there is definitely a time for it.
I know one of our local high schools have recently experienced something like this before. And when I was in high school, it was actually one of my teachers, you know, who had passed away at that time. It's weird seeing them one day and then not seeing them the next, and then going to a funeral and seeing your entire class there. That's something that's quite surreal to process, Alan, when you're 17, 18, 19 years old.
It really is, you know, and it's one of those parts of life that are never easy at any age for us to accept. You know, even as we get older, I lost my father when I was in high school, and I was 17 in an accident, and I saw him the day before, and I didn't see him the day after. And so I understand that grief, and I probably didn't deal with it in the best way. You know, like I was raised where we don't really show a whole lot of emotion, and so, you know, I just didn't know what to do. And looking back, it would have been great to talk to somebody about it. You know, maybe even if I had just gone and talked to my pastor and said, hey, you know, I have no idea what to say or what to do. You know, this kind of sucks, and I'm stuck in this grief trench, and I don't know what to do. And we don't have the words a lot of times as teenagers. And so as parents, we kind of hope that we have those words, but we don't always have them either. Maybe with the way that we were raised, and, you know, a lot of us have that, this sounds horrible, but that eighth grade, you know, formation, and we stop with our formation in our faith after that, and we don't move anywhere past that. That also goes with a lot of the emotions that we feel as a parent, and things that we help our kids deal with mental health. And so there is a time to look for a good Catholic counselor who can help, you know, kind of navigate these feelings and give us suggestions and ways to deal with this grief. One of the things that I've found that really helped, we've had a few losses in the high schools around here as well, and one of the things that I've seen that actually is kind of therapeutic is having the kids, like, you know, give them like T-shirts to make, or, you know, or having a candlelight vigil, and like feeling like they're participating in something that's, you know, that's moving them toward a recovery from their grief. And that's always kind of it's not a fix, but there's little steps. There's not one thing that fixes grief. You know, there's steps toward it. And so we never get rid of that grief. I still miss my father, but I'm the way that I grieve now is much different than the way that I grieved when I was 17.
Yeah, I think you made a good point there. Going to see a counselor, and a lot of dioceses and archdioceses have Catholic counseling services that are free of charge, so you can go. And I think it's so important to allow our teens to express how they're feeling and not bottle it up. And if it's not us that they want to talk to, but someone who's a counselor that they will talk to. But also, Alan, let's talk about that sense of community that our teens crave, especially during a time like this. I think that gathering together as friends or as a class is very important so they can grieve together.
It really is, and if we wait until there's a moment to grieve, and that's the only time that we come together, that can also be damaging. We, you know, our sense of community is super important, and one of the things that I believe that we miss a lot, and I'm going to make a general statement as Catholic, youth, is that we don't have that sense of community like a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters do. Their fellowship is really important and really focused on, and that's maybe a horrible thing to say because we really focus on it in our parish, but I've seen a lot, different churches out there and different denominations that really focus on the sense of community and fellowship, and I think that's one thing that we could learn is to really bring Christ into everything that we do and not compartmentalize him, so that when there's a grief that we need to lean on our community, it's already there, it's already in place. Trying to build that afterwards can be a hard thing to do, but it also can drag us together. That's really super important for teens. If you think about how many teens show up to like a youth group, the reason they show up to youth group is because their friends are going. So they need that sense of community, but they also need a strong sense of community that's grounded, on solid ground, not just surfacey. They need something that's connected to faith. And so that's important for us to generate and help them cultivate that sense of community inside their faith community.
Definitely. And I know that as a teen, my youth group was so strong over in Baton Rouge, and I just enjoyed going to it so much. And we were all different, all walks of life, just coming together. It just didn't matter, you know, and going to different schools. But that sense of community was needed. And also, Alan, praying together as teens as well, and being vulnerable in prayer is important.
Yeah, and for parents too. You know, the one thing I don't like when parents say is, "I'll pray for you" to their kid. That's great. Pray with them. Say, "Hey, can we pray right now?" Is, you know, let's offer up a prayer right now, and let the Lord know that we're, and He already knows, but let Him know that, you know, we are coming to Him for this. And that's really, really an important part of helping form our teens, is to pray with them. Yeah. They need to see that we're praying out loud, and even if it's uncomfortable, like, parents, get over it. You know, help get over your insecurity about praying, and just help your kids become formed, because we want our kids to lean on Christ. We don't want them to lean on people who are not grounded in Christ, because they'll lead them in the wrong direction. Oh, you're depressed? Mm-hmm. Well, here, have a beer. Or here, have some weed. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what happens, you know? And maybe it's not intentional. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a spiritual battle we need to be more aware of. But, like, we need to make sure our kids are grounded in Christ and focused on Christ for our grief.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Alan. I know this was a very difficult topic, but much needed. We're experiencing this in our communities a lot more frequently. So thank you so much for being with us, Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. You can go to adventurecatholic.com to find out more about Alan. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, God bless, guys.
All right, you too. Dr. David Whitten joins Damien in our Baton Rouge studio when we return from the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
For the top of the hour, happy Monday, everyone. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, and with us now, Dr. David Whitten, professor of theology at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University. And before we jump in today's topic of the Holy Spirit, I want to congratulate you. You have a new title and a new position, don't you?
Yes, starting July 1, I'll be the vice president for mission integration at FRANU. So
all right.
Excited about that change.
What does that entail, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. I think I'll be figuring that out as I go, and that's okay. One of the things that's important for any Catholic university is to really be true to its mission as a Catholic university. And that is really an ongoing discussion. Pope John Paul in Ex Cordia Ecclesiae talks about it as something that's never really quite finished. You're always having to think about, who are we? How do we fulfill the mission that Christ has given us? And it can't be just a negative kind of thing, like, here's the things we can't do and can't say.
Yeah, right.
Right. What does it really mean positively, right, for us to live out this call to evangelize and to also, at the same time, grapple with the truth from a variety of different fields and to bring people together? So I think what I'll be doing is helping our faculty think about those issues, thinking about sort of what of our extracurricular activities are, how do we hire people who fit that mission and have that drive. Support that. So those will be some of the things that I'll be thinking about. And for me, as a theologian, it's in some sense a theological question, right? What does it mean to be a Catholic university? How do we think through that?
So, yeah, nice. We may be talking about that in the future, you know, the university's mission.
Sure.
And elaborating a little bit more on that.
Sure, of course.
Because I think people are, you know, you hear Catholic University, a lot of people just assume it's like LSU or Southern. Missions are a little different, but
yeah, it is. I mean, and what there's a question I used to ask a long time ago, about 10 years ago, like, what would mark the difference between a student who graduates from FRANU and from LSU, right? If it's just if it's the same education with a few crucifixes on the wall, then really what's the point, right? Because they can do it cheaper at LSU.
Yeah.
Right. So what is it? What is the difference that we lend? What's the difference that we make in the lives of our students? Do they come out being formed differently, looking differently, acting differently, thinking differently because of their education? And that's important. Mm-hmm. It should be different. If they come out and they're really just like a student from LSU or Southern, which are fine institutions, I'm not trying to trash them in any way, right? But if there's not a difference, then what's the point of us even existing?
Right, right. I'm with you 100%. And that also brings us to the topic of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
What's the difference between the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father?
Well, there's in some sense no difference in the sense that the Holy Spirit is divine. The Holy Spirit is fully God, just as the Son is fully God and the Father is fully God. And yet the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, so is distinct from the Father and the Son. And how we think about that is a semester-long course that I just finished teaching on the Trinity.
But that is the challenge.
That is the challenge.
A lot of people think of Jesus all the time and God the Father. We pray to Him. But we often forget that the Holy Spirit is the driving force of what we do.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is God.
Amen. Right?
And it can be difficult for us because, there's a 4th century theologian named Gregory of Nazianzus who famously said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, he says, you know, in the Old Testament, the Father was made manifest, and the Old Testament pointed to the Son, right? So with the prophecies of the Old Testament and so on. He said, in the New Testament, the Son becomes made manifest, and it points to the Spirit. And he says, and now we're in the time of the Spirit, right? So Jesus comes. This just happens, right? We read about this yesterday. He says, you know, the Spirit can't come until I go.
Until I go
to heaven. And so now we're in that realm of the Spirit, the time of the Spirit, who brings forth the church and who gives us the gifts to support the church. This is something we were talking about. We can actually see the prophecy of the Holy Spirit with the idea of the spiritual gifts. So you see this in Isaiah 11:2, mm-hmm. Which I'll just read real quick, which is a prophecy of Jesus and also of the Spirit. So when we think about spiritual gifts, the medievals and Augustine and so on really looked at this verse. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So here they're talking a prophecy about Christ. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and a fear of the Lord. Those are considered gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. One of my friends just went through confirmation, actually came into the church, so he'd already been baptized. And so he was confirmed yesterday. And so we think about confirmation as one of those places where you receive those gifts of the Spirit, mm-hmm. Which are there to actually help the church. So the gifts that you get through baptism, right, are the gifts of forgiveness, and a cleansing from sin, but the Spirit and confirmation gives you these additional gifts, which aren't really so much for you, but for you to serve the church as part of it. So how do we think about the Spirit? When I teach this course in the Trinity, I have a wonderful little book called Contemplating the Trinity by Father Cantalamessa. He's the preacher for the papal household.
Okay.
Right. So I always tell my deacon candidates, like, if you think you've ever got pressure preaching, right, imagine having to preach to the Pope, right? That's just a little bit of pressure. And
yes,
so these are 7 homilies that he gave to John Paul II. John Paul said, would you publish them in a book? So it's Contemplating the Trinity, 7 beautiful homilies. I highly recommend them. All my students have really enjoyed reading them. But he says, you know, one of his little tricks of the trade, he says, is when I want to really think about or talk about one of the divine persons, I pray to the other two to help make that one manifest to me. So he says, if I want to speak more about the Son, mm-hmm. then I pray to the Father and the Spirit and say, Father and Spirit, help me speak truly about the Son. So as you're thinking about Pentecost, as you're thinking about the Holy Spirit, one of the things actually to do is to say, Father and Son, can you help me learn more, come in contact more with the Holy Spirit. And that's one of his little tricks of the trade, if you will.
Nice.
Because one of the things about the Trinity is in some sense, none of the persons draws attention to himself. Each of the persons really points to the other two persons.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we think about Pentecost, as we think about the Holy Spirit, as we think about the role of the Spirit in the church and the role of the Spirit and the gifts that we receive, this is the week maybe to say, Father and Son, can you help make the Spirit more manifest to me in my prayer life, in my liturgical life, and so on. That may be a way to think about that.
And they're all one in the Trinity. And that is probably the mystery that people try to understand, and sometimes and oftentimes we can't.
Right. There's a place where we can't go with the Trinity, but that's not to say that we shouldn't spend as much of our intellectual efforts as we can to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Augustine was very clear. He's like, I'm never going to get there. And yet he writes 400 pages on the Trinity, right? So,
Yeah.
So Richard St. Victor says, you know, even if I can't win the race. I just want to run it. And it's an act of love, right?
Yeah.
To think about God is to think about someone that we love. And the more you come to know God, the more you love God. And the more you love God, the more, of course, you want to know. And, of course, love is actually one of the, if you will, the nicknames of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit comes to help us learn about God and mostly to love God.
Love God. All right. Dr. David Whitten, as always, love your insight and thank you for being with us. And,
my pleasure.
Professor of Theology at FRANU, and so glad to have him this morning. We will wrap up with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, amen. Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. James Behan with the Archdiocese of New Orleans Office of Marriage and Family Life and Young Adult Ministry joins us. Thomas McKenna and author Doug Grain will also be joining us to talk about their new releases in their books. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.